For me, there are three core elements to populism. One is it fetishizes all the people. It has a real conception of the people and who it's representing. The second thing is it has a distaste, the opposite of this, for elites and establishments. But it also has a third element for me, which is a distaste for representative politics and the processes of politics. Only when you've got that particular cocktail of those three together do you have populism. So you do have cases of, for instance, Trump is an example of someone who has real hostility towards the establishment, who has a real distaste for politics, but actually is not advocating the people as well, he's advocating Trump. And so you have two or three of the elements, which don't often have the three elements in combination, but you had to have all three for me to have populism. But there are many other definitions of populism. For me, it's also key, not liking the way that politics works and distrusting it and seeing other ways of trying to do politics, which is often why they'll resort to things like direct democracy in representative systems.
You've studied populism across Europe. Is it possible to say to what extent there are different ideas of populism across Europe? Is the Swiss style of populism the same as the British style of populism? Populism in France isn't necessarily the same as in Iceland.
Populists in different countries will stress different issues. They might mix the same sorts of things, but in each country a populist will have a different sort of cocktail as to how they'll mix the issues together. So I think it's important to see populism as a theme, but actually the way it manifests itself is quite plural.
What's specific about the Swiss brand of populism? I'm thinking particularly Switzerland being the model of direct democracy. Is there a difference between countries with a direct democratic system as opposed to countries with a parliamentary democracy?
That's an incredibly difficult question. I don't think necessarily that direct democracy is an element of populism. What direct democracy can be is a response to the dislike for other forms of representative democracy. So it's one solution to disliking the processes of politics. Now, that's a slightly different thing from what you're asking. You're asking, well, OK, here's a system where we've embedded direct democracy. Does that change the context? Well, yes, it does. And to me, it means that populism might well manifest itself in different ways. It's probably likely to use direct democracy, well, it has that opportunity to do here. To me, there's nothing essential about a link between populism and direct democracy.
Let's move on to the role of the media in promoting populism. I suppose social media might have a special part in it.
I'm not convinced that the media plays a huge role in populism. For me, it's about politics, and the media is the way that those sentiments and politics are mobilised. So other people disagree with this. There are certainly some examples where you can say, well, short snippets and bites and a certain way things are phrased can work better in certain formats, and that might be more amenable. But I have to say, I'm not a researcher on the media, I'm a researcher on politics. And the reason I'm a researcher on politics is I think that the media plays less of a role than it's often emphasised.
Social media, Twitter, Facebook, the new means, citizens can immediately intervene, say what they think about politics. Politicians can use these techniques.
But these can also be very atomising processes. We can treat the social media as echo chambers or our own opinions. I'm not convinced that Twitter, for example, is actually a hugely used medium of citizen engagement. It's quite a distinct group that use it, has very distinct circumstances, and it's quite a minority concern. And we, as people who research it, tend to use these things, so we tend to overemphasise them.
I'm coming back to the beginning of our little conversation. I'm wondering about the impact of populism on democracy. Is populism, in a way, inevitable?
It's not inevitable. It doesn't have to always be there. It doesn't always have to come. But it does seem to emerge quite regularly in all forms of representative politics at particular times. There are those that think it's very divisive and dangerous and has negative consequences. But the thing about populism is it attaches to different sets of values. And to be honest with you, I kind of think that people often, they'll dislike the populism that attaches to the value set that they don't like. Now, you know, as a scholar and an analyst, I have to say, the common core of populism actually is not necessarily bad. It might be telling you something's wrong with democracy. For me, I do have one concern about populism, which is it tends to simplify things, not oversimplify messages, but it tends to break it down into a moralistic worldview. And to me, that's a very different form of politics than the form of representative politics, which is what I would call iterative, repeated games, and about winners and losers and coalitions. And it's very rarely about yes and no's.